the thing about trusted relationship is that as a leader, if you don't have that, you're not informed. And that is the biggest observation I've had over years. You know, I've worked for some fantastic people in the past and worked for some terrible leaders. And one of the key differences is that the worst leaders are the ones that create an environment, and not even create an environment of fear, even. It's just subtle use of language that means that people don't share everything what's on their mind, their concerns.
Welcome to Be More, a podcast by Peakon. This is where everyone at an organization can hear different and meaningful perspectives on how we can all thrive in this ever-changing and constantly evolving world of work. I'm your host, Patrick Kornoyer. How leaders are approaching the individual relationships with members of their team has been put to the test over the past 6 months. One thing is clear, there is a relationship evolution happening, and it's happening at a fast pace. Leaders are quickly figuring out what is working and what is not. My guest today is passionate about effective leader relationships and what can happen when that trusted relationship fails. Gareth Jones is the CEO of Head Start, which is a business focused on empowering diversity within organizations. His background is diverse, with experience as an investor, executive level leadership, and he has also been responsible for innovation at the Chemistry Group. Today, we're going to talk about people, leadership, and trust. Gareth, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks, Patrick. Good to be here.
All right. So, people, leadership, evolution of the relationship between a leader and individual members of their team, the world's rapidly changing, world of work rapidly changing over the past 6 months. How would you describe the leadership relationship evolving over the past 6 months from your perspective? And you've had a long experience within HR. So what have you seen change over the past 6 months?
Ultimately, I wonder, has much changed? Which is kind of look at it. I mean, 6 months is a really tiny amount of time, isn't it, in the grand scheme of people management and leadership. And certainly over the last 30 odd years, because I'm that old and I've been around in business, things have, on the face of it, changed quite significantly. I mean, the world of work is very different now to what it was when I first started, in terms of just the whole relationship and how organizations were and how you were in them, and remote working, all those things weren't present then. I think in the last 6 months, we've had a sort of a catastrophic shock to the system caused by the global pandemic. So I'm not sure yet. The trick will be when COVID's gone and we face the opportunity of living in a new way, leading in a different way versus, okay, back to the usual guys. I think that's when we'll notice whether there's been a change. But I don't personally see a huge change. I hear a lot of narrative around it, but I don't think there's necessarily been a shift.
So we're talking about now, and for the foreseeable future, everything is a bit up in the air. We're obviously, you and I are both in the UK. We might be going back into another lockdown. But what could an organization do today to figure out how they could build this in a realistic way for the future, so that it sticks, so that it's not just talking about it, but that it's something that's tangible for the future?
Yeah, it's a great narrative, isn't it? You know, when you talk about what you started that sentence with about, you know, the employee experience and everything else, it does, you know, it's really interactive. It's really engaging. And if we could turn that into reality in the world of work, you know, why wouldn't you embrace it as an employee and a leader? Frankly, we're just not getting there. I think, how do we go forward from here? It comes back to fundamentally how we relate with people in the organization and trust. And I think, if we're as leaders trying to navigate the future in business and how we, and specifically, how do we cope with the changes based on the things that happened in the last 6 months and the impact it's had on people's lives? You know, some people have really thrived through lockdown and or the remote working scenario. Some people, because of the conditions and constraints, have really suffered. People working from home and have to homeschool kids and so on. For me, the trick is you've got to engage your people. You've got to talk to the people. You've got to have an open dialogue with your individuals. So I think the starting point, and that comes back to trusting and saying, we've got a bunch of people in this organization that are, you know, have huge talents across the business, not just a small number of people who are talented. This war for talent is a nonsense. We've got great talented people who can, if you trust them and allow them to be their best selves and allow them to put themselves in their best position, they will, providing you're not an unethical business or anything like that, they will respond. You're nothing without the people in your business. Dyson is a man in a shed with a great idea, without the next person who took him to the next level, to the next level, right? And there's this comment I've grown up with: people are our most important asset. And for years, I've seen that not being lived up to. And actually, for me, people are not the most important asset in your business. They are your business. And I think that's what the shift, the mind shift we have to say. So my first starting point is to engage the people and say, this is the landscape. This is the direction of travel at the moment. What are you guys thinking? What are you guys feeling? And how can we navigate this? What do we need to do as an organization? And that requires vulnerability from the leader, right? To say, I'm not the person who has all the answers.
I think that is very powerful, because it's true. If we think about it, people are our business. The success of our business depends on our people. But how do you help people understand vulnerability and what that means? And how do you help somebody to dig into that a bit? It's an uncomfortable place to be for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's about, so we wrap it up, you know, vulnerability, authenticity, you know, we have these words. It's about being you, you know, for a long time, and still very much is, you know, the narrative around leadership is you've got to keep something back. You can't be you. You can't be the real you. And the underlying inference there is you can't really be emotional. You can't share everything about you as a leader. So you can't, you know, make mistakes, or that you feel, right? And for a long time, it was like, yes, as a leader, you could have empathy, but not sympathy, or the other way around. You know, you can't show all of that. And those traits, you know, that whole thing about being authentic and being transparent and showing emotion, for example, or telling everybody exactly how you feel as a leader and being completely open, were seen as weak traits. You know, we've built leadership around strength of character and resilience and all of those things. And to the extreme, you know, kick ass and take names. And the softer leaders were seen as a weakness. It's always, you know, since I've been told that in my early career, you know, if you want to be a leader, you've got to toughen up. And that narrative, you know, unfortunately plays to the white male narrative too, which isn't great for diversity at all. And I think it's being comfortable with being open, right? Just being yourself. And being, you know, you call it authentic, but just being you and being able to have an open conversation with somebody. And that's as difficult with a group of people or more as it is with an individual. You know, two people sitting down and being totally open about how they feel with each other in a work context, for example, is difficult. Open feedback is really difficult, isn't it? It's very difficult to give and it's very difficult to take at times. But that's what we have to become comfortable with. And for me, vulnerability and authenticity is just about me being me. And saying, I'm having a difficult time with this. I'm sure you've been in similar environments where, you know, business, and particularly in a company like ours, it's investment led. You know, we don't have a business model at the moment, and a business that's 20 years old that makes, you know, 40% EBIT a year, and we can just truck on and it's great. It's a life of ups and downs. And I describe startup life as truly being like a rocket ship, you know, the elation of going to space and getting out there, but the absolute sheer terror of being in a metal object that's being shot out of the Earth's system. You know, there's this kind of constant struggle. And my default position has always been to tell people everything, right, about where we are in the business, the good and the bad, and also to share with them how I feel about it. So if I'm nervous about, you know, ability to onboard clients, if I'm nervous about the economy and what it means, you know, so going into COVID, it's fine for me to say, guys, I'm nervous about it. I'm nervous about the impact on our business over the next 12 months. How are you feeling about it? Therefore, then what can we do? Whereas traditionally it might have been, you know, no, you've got to go out there and you've got to go, it's going to be great. It's going to be fine. We're going to kill it, guys. You know, and there's a place for some of that. But really for me, it's about being open. And this is a personal thing, right? If I think about trust, we bandy that around, but who do I trust as a person, especially when I meet somebody new? Who are these people I trust? I trust people who I'm getting open signals from, who I can make a mental, a subconscious and conscious decision about. Are these behaviors that I'm seeing things that give me warning signs as a person inside, subconsciously, my instinct, or I'm getting good signs? And I trust people who engage with me and behave me in the right way, who appear to be being ethical in their conversations, who appear to be honest with me, etc. And it's those things that engender trust. So as leaders, if we want our people to trust me, if I want my team to trust me, I've got to show those behaviors. I've got to be open. They've got to believe me when I say I want to do something or I'm feeling something. So it's being okay with saying, this is the real me and this is actually how it is. Because you can't build trust when people don't have all of the information. And that's, again, a thing historically in the past is need to know basis. You know, we talk about transparency in business, and there's so many things people don't, leaders don't want to share with their organization for fear that everyone will leave or for fear. You know, from my perspective, this is how it is in our business, for example. These are the challenges we face. Are you comfortable with that? And if it's tough, you know, we face some tough times as a startup, as others have. And at every single stage, we kind of to be just totally transparent as we can, right? So that people can then make the choice. And my experience is that when you do that, people engage and trust. Some people will decide, this is not for me. The rocket ship isn't for me. No, definitely not. But other people will go, you know what? I'm with it. I understand the risk because I have all the information. So for me, it's about just, you know, vulnerability, authenticity, just about be you. You know, be you and be open and be transparent. And then people will then start to trust because they've got all the information and they relate.
You made a good correlation there between giving people information in an incredibly transparent way, but then also connecting how you individually feel about that information as well. Because that connection of not just being a leader and sharing information, being transparent about what's going on, but being able to make that personal connection between how you feel about the information that you're sharing, that very much builds that trusted relationship even deeper, because that's a unique perspective around vulnerability. Because many leaders think that their role is to share information and to regularly, openly, transparently share information. And it absolutely is. However, if you can make that connection, this is what's happening, but this is how I feel about it. This is how it affects me. I feel good about this. I'm worried about this. I have the same concerns that you potentially have. Making that feeling connection, I think, is one of those moments where you can create even deeper trusted relationships with your teams.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a missing element, and that people are looking for it consciously or subconsciously. You know, they want to know what's on your mind. And I want to know what's on their mind too. This is one of the key things for me. If you're going to take the responsibility as the lead baton holder in a business, right, as the person that ultimately has the most context, is how someone described it. You know, I'm not more important or any more talented at all than any of the people in my business. In fact, you know, probably the least in that context. But I'm in the role where I have the most context, in theory, across the whole business. So each of my functional leads and all the people in the business have got this context in their area and hopefully a broader context. But I'm the one, I suppose, as a CEO in this construct we call a company that has the broadest possible context. And therefore, around key decisions and key directions, that, you know, the CEO is then, you know, defined as the person who will then make some key decisions to get us to the next stage and the next stage and so on. And the thing about this trusted relationship is that as a leader, if you don't have that, you're not informed. And that is the biggest observation I've had over years. You know, I've worked for some fantastic people in the past, and I've worked with some terrible people and worked for some terrible people in the past, terrible leaders. And the difference, one of the key differences, is that the worst leaders are the ones that create an environment, and not create an environment of fear, even. It's just subtle use of language that means that people don't share everything, what's on their mind, their concerns. And at the extreme, you end up with, you know, you end up with businesses that implode, and we've seen lots of them, where the leadership just were ignoring the trends in the market or the feedback from people, and people around them were too scared or too closed to share. And, you know, in a business, you're a leader who creates the environment where people aren't able to tell you how it is, how you are, how you're behaving, and whether you're doing a good job or there's something going wrong here. You're misinformed, and then you get surrounded by yes people, and then you start to live in this bubble of non-reality. And that's when bad decisions start being made. So it's really, really important to create that environment where you can get the trust of others and be trusted, because that's when you are fully informed. And without that fully informed nature, you're going to make decisions that are not fully informed as a leader. Because I don't want people around me who just leave the room and talk to their colleague who's just had a meeting with me. He doesn't get it. He just shut me down. You know, and that's not, I'm saying I've never shut someone down in a conversation, right? I'm human. I've had my moment. I'm a passionate person, which, you know, in itself can intimidate people, right? So I want to make that clear. But as a leader, I'm not informed if I don't make sure that I have that trust and I allow that feedback. But the other way around, individuals in the company can't make informed decisions about their career, about themselves, about their role, unless, you know, they've got everything from me and we've got that trusted relationship. So I think for me, that's the key thing is if you don't have that, you don't have the full context as a leader and you can't then make or facilitate the best decisions.
So we're talking a lot about this trusted relationship. Every great relationship is based on trust. And employees right now are thriving in an environment of trust with their leaders and feeling that they have more autonomy and that they're being empowered to make decisions on how they do work, when they do work, how they meet goals and expectations. So I think that those changes have happened at organizations because they've had to, right? Because people aren't going into an office and there's this whole conversation, which again is another podcast around organizations that were worried about productivity when the last thing they should be worried about is productivity. What they should be worried about is creating a trusted, autonomous, empowered relationship, and productivity will follow from there. But we could have a whole other conversation on that. But I think that
couldn't we just
for today, the really great insights and takeaways I think that you're sharing are around the simplicity and design of communication. And like I said, this idea of open, transparent communication, but then connecting the feeling to it so that you can start being yourself a bit more as a leader, but that encourages employees to be themselves as well. So
it's an adult to adult thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's the point. You know, historically, businesses is kind of more parent-child. And that's either very, very prominent or very subtle, but it's, you know, still that kind of parent-child relationship. And we are not parents and children in that context in work. We talk about when we're hiring, you know, we want to hire the greatest person, that we want to hire the most capable person. We, you know, the world's your oyster as an individual coming into the business. And the moment we bring people into business, we then constrain them, you know, and their thinking, and we start to communicate, treat them like children in that context. So I think the adult to adult, it is what it is, kind of, you know, everything clear and transparent is the most important thing in that context. And, you know, it isn't easy. And, you know, I make the mistakes and I have done, it's difficult for me. So I'm sitting here saying, yeah, it's transparent, share everything. And that has been probably one of the main threads of, I guess, you know, my leadership within HR, within Head Start. But when COVID came along, you know, an unprecedented scenario, you know, I was used to sharing everything with everybody and giving them, even when, you know, we were coming up to funding rounds and our runway was getting shorter and stuff, I'd share all of that. COVID came along and I made some calls about the business like a lot of people did. And I made those on my own. And then we rolled those changes out into the business. And I lost some trust currency because I felt like at the time that this was happening incredibly rapidly and that I agonized over the changes for a couple of days. Should we, shouldn't we? And what should we do about it? And because it was unprecedented and quick, you know, I didn't share this stuff, I guess. And as Basecamp would say, my trust battery was drained with everybody. And, you know, I have to acknowledge that. And hopefully this kind of economic unprecedented situation will never happen again in my lifetime, you know, and anybody else's, hopefully. It was tough. And, you know, it was tough to hear it as well. It was tough to get it, you know, kind of the response from people in the business that were staying and some that were going. And to deal with that and manage that, but then come back and resettle it. It's tough. But, you know, we've come through it and hopefully, you know, I've recharged my trust battery a little bit, but it isn't easy, particularly when you make decisions that you think are really the right ones at the time and they impact people. They're going to tell you, and that's what you want them to tell you. So as much as, you know, I felt we had a difficult 6 weeks and I felt the brunt of that from the team, they told me, they fed it back to me. And I fed it back to them how I felt, because in a traditional environment, I wouldn't know that and probably would have lost people as a result of it. So yeah, I think it's fundamental.
One thing that is a common thread with all of us is that we're all going to make those mistakes.
Over and over. First sign of madness, isn't it?
But the good thing is that if you really do have that relationship there and you trip a bit, then it's a lot easier to forgive and to understand. And the flip side of it, it's a lot easier to get some forgiveness and understanding if you have a good foundation there of building that trusted relationship from the start. So no leader is perfect, right? But I think if the core of the relationship is there and we trip, or maybe there's a stumble along the way with transparency or communication that is unintended, I think that people are much more willing to move past it because the core fundamental is there.
Yeah.
Gareth, thank you for your passion, number one, for your insights and really good suggestions around communication, trust, and how it's all connected. And I also really like your perspective of, we're talking a lot of right now about employees, but we need to really make sure that that is the reality for the future and not just something that we're talking about right now, because it can't just be a buzz term or a buzzword right now.
No, it can't be. It has to be fundamental going forward, not a fad or just a quick response, because ultimately what were they going to do in COVID? They couldn't come out and say, we don't care about our people, just get on with it, work at home. Of course, they're going to say, we care about their mental health, we care about those things. It's how that becomes embedded in their business going forward that matters.
All right, Gareth, thank you so much.
No, thank you. Thanks for giving me the opportunity. It's been great, Patrick. Thank you very much.
And that was Be More, a podcast by Peakon. Be sure to search for Be More in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, or anywhere else that you get your podcasts from. And go ahead and subscribe so that you don't miss out on any future conversations. On behalf of the team here at Peakon, thanks for listening.